Hi there, and welcome to session 8 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. Stay tuned while we discuss 5 common first-time mistakes chicken owners make, and these mistakes are not exactly what you think. Hi, this is Maya from Frugal Chicken, and welcome to session 8 of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. Today we'll go in depth on the 5 most common mistakes I see first-time chicken owners make. So it's been pretty warm here lately, and I'm happy about that because honestly, I really hate winter. And it's pecan season here, so I've spent a lot of time harvesting them. And I'm actually curious to know what the weather is like where you are, so be sure to drop me a line after this podcast. But let's get into why we're here today. So as chicken owners, we're going to make mistakes, we all do it, and if you haven't done it yet, it's really honestly just a matter of time. So I wanted to take an opportunity to talk about the 5 most common mistakes I see people making. And these are from people who contacted me, Frugal Chicken readers, people who post over social media, and you know, et cetera. You get the point. But these common mistakes are easily avoided, and your chickens will be happy and healthy if you just follow a few simple rules of thumb. So let's get into what we're going to talk about today, these 5 most common mistakes. So probably the biggest mistake I see chicken owners making is not feeding their chickens the right diet. And I know I discuss this a lot, but that's because it's really so important. And I'm even building a whole course about it just because I think it's that important. In particular, I get emails daily from people asking why their hens aren't laying, why the chickens are flighty, and all that sort of stuff. I also get a lot of people contacting me over social media or people posting on social media about health issues online, health issues with their chickens online, that is. And I've seen some pretty terrible videos of sick chickens that have problems because of diet issues. And, you know, these are chickens that aren't getting enough nutrients, so they develop health problems, that sort of thing. So in the past, we've discussed about what to feed your chickens, and I also offer a free audio course that discusses 5 ways to feed your chickens so that they'll have a well-rounded diet, which you can get at thefrugalchicken.com/VIP list, and I'll put that link in the show notes. But when you don't feed your chickens an optimal diet, and what I mean by that is a diet that provides the right protein, fat, vitamins, and minerals, you're taking a chance that you're going to end up with either poor quality food for you to eat, or on the other hand, sick chickens, or possibly both. So a poor diet also leads to behavioral issues such as pecking, feather eating, lower egg productivity, and you know, you get the point. So to avoid this, just make sure that you're feeding your chickens the best diet possible, whether you go with a commercial feed or a homemade recipe, okay? So that's our first mistake that you want to avoid. Now the second mistake is a big one. And it's not being organized with the coop before bringing your chickens home. And I'm the first to admit that I've made this mistake too, and we've had to scramble to build something, and it turns into a bigger headache than it had to be. This especially rings true if you live in an area where you're allowed to have chickens, but it's regulated, you have neighbors that are close by you, and also the way your coop can look is regulated. The last thing you want to do is lose your flock because you're disorganized, and no one likes the outcome of a situation like that. So it really pays to be organized in this way. And I can't tell you the amount of Facebook posts I've seen where people brought a flock of chickens home and they had friends or family members that would promise to help them build a coop. And you know, you see where this is going. Nothing got built. People were in violation of city ordinances or they couldn't properly house their flock for the winter and they had to find new homes for their chickens and start from scratch in the spring. On the other hand, I've seen people buy a coop planning to raise a set number of birds. But when they brought home more chickens than they planned, so the coop becomes too small to properly house their flock. Don't be that guy. If you think that that might happen, then prepare for it by putting up a coop that's larger than you think you're going to need. It's easy to avoid the stress of that situation and just build or buy a coop before you acquire the chickens. Now, the next major mistake I see people making is allowing free ranging, particularly to cut feed costs when there are a lot of predators or when they've lost their flock to a predator. Another issue is allowing free ranging when they have close neighbors or not following city regulations and keeping their chickens penned. Both of these situations lead to a loss of chickens and potentially a lot of heartache, so I really just suggest avoiding it. So while I understand the desire to let your chickens free range since it allows them to engage in normal behaviors, lead healthier and happier lives, if you don't use something like a chicken tractor or you don't pen them in some way, you're really running the risk that your flock will get eaten by predators, or you'll lose it in some other way to angry neighbors, violating city ordinances, that sort of thing. Now, personally, on our homestead, I've lost chickens to predators, And these chickens were some of my best egg layers. So I can really say with authority that especially if you don't have too many chickens, you know, you're keeping a few just to keep you in eggs and omelets, but you don't really have a large flock, losing one or two chickens to a predator is actually a really major loss. You're gonna either have to spend money to replace them and you don't know what you're getting, you don't really know how often they're gonna lay eggs or how old they are. You know, a lot of times people sell older chickens saying that they lay very well, but they maybe only lay once or twice a week. You don't really know the chickens that you're getting. Or you're going to spend time and money raising chicks for 7 months or so until they start laying. You know, maybe they won't make it to the laying age or whatever, so you're really kind of taking a risk. And another thing, and we've kind of touched on this already, is that you don't want to annoy your neighbors, and one of the easiest ways to get on their nerves is for chicken poop to get everywhere. No one likes chicken poop or bird poop really on their stuff or their property. And if a neighbor complains to the county or whatever your local governing body is, you might end up losing your flock, incur a heavy fine, or you know, some sort of thing like that. This happens more frequently than you imagine. People don't think it's going to happen to them, but I see it happen a lot. And I see it happening where, you know, things are going great, and then suddenly, you know, something happens and your flock becomes public enemy number one. And your neighbors start hating you because, you know, there's chicken poop everywhere, there's chickens in their lawn, there's chickens scratching up their yard or whatever. So suddenly your flock just becomes public enemy number one. Now, the easiest way to avoid this, but if you still want to let your flock free range, is to use a tractor. And if you don't know what a tractor is, it's a mobile chicken coop. And you can make them easily at home. And they are a good way to get around city ordinances that require you to coop your flock, but they still allow you to free range your flock around your property. On the blog, I have an article about how to make your own tractor using pallets, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. It's a really nice looking tractor. It doesn't take that much money or that much time to make, but you can use wood, PVC, wire, or you know, any sort of thing like that to make your chicken tractor. And you have a lot of options, and you can do it pretty cheaply. PVC is probably one of the cheapest ways to make a chicken tractor out there. You can make it with PVC and chicken wire or hardware cloth. And the nice thing about PVC is that it's lightweight, so you can move it around very easily. In some counties and some cities, you can't use PVC because of how it looks. So in that case, you can use things like wood, lightweight wood, plywood, along with wire, chicken wire, and then put wheels on it to make it move easier. So you do have a lot of options when it comes to how to make a chicken tractor and how to make it look. So moving on, the fourth mistake I see new chicken owners making is relying on the internet to diagnose a sick chicken. And this is kind of a big one that I see happen a lot. Now, when you do that, you're really taking a risk about getting reliable information about what's going on with your chickens. So here's a scenario I see a lot. Someone has a sick hen, posts a photo or a video in a chicken forum or Facebook group asking for opinions. And you know what happens, right? You get a lot of opinions, and they're usually pretty conflicting. And the bottom line you have to remember is that 99.999% of these opinions are not coming from a vet or even usually, you know, an experienced chicken owner. So let's say you put your video up on Facebook, and as a new chicken owner, what do? You have to then sift through all of this information, none of which comes from a vet, remember, and determine with your own judgment which information is correct. So it really does become a situation where the blind leads the blind. Now, I understand where somebody's coming from when they post on the internet. I live in an area where there's no avian vets, so I understand this impulse to put something on the internet. But usually the questions I see are about chickens that are sick with some mysterious disease and exhibiting symptoms that could be due to multiple illnesses. Your best bet is to get in contact with an avian vet and know beforehand where to contact them to explain what's going on. Another option, and one that I've used in the past, is to contact my vet, who, by the way, is not an avian vet, and have him reach out to local universities with poultry programs that might have a better idea than either he or I have about what's going on with the particular symptoms my chicken is displaying. We've done this particularly with blood samples from chickens who had an illness neither myself nor my vet could identify. You can check with your vet before a problem occurs, or check with universities directly about their policies so that when an emergency does come up or your chicken exhibits symptoms that could, you know, be any series of illnesses, so you have a policy or you have a plan in place to get your chicken some help before it actually occurs. But avoid posting on Facebook groups or on the internet, for example. By all means, do your research online. If your chicken is exhibiting a series of symptoms, do your research, but don't rely on the internet to tell you what's going on. Wait for a definitive diagnosis from a qualified professional. You're going to get too many conflicting and questionable answers over Facebook, for example. Now, the final mistake I see chicken owners making is not having the proper tools handy in case of an emergency. And this kind of relates to number four here a bit. But I really can't stress how important it is to be prepared, even if you have just the most basic tools. You can easily create an emergency first aid kit and have it on hand. And one of the bonuses in my course, Feeding Your Hens Right, is a list of emergency items you can keep in your first aid kit. And the reason I include that, even though it's slightly off topic for a course that's about feeding chickens, is because I want you to have all the specific tools you'll need in order to be successful as you raise your flock. Now, we talked about being prepared for a chicken emergency in session 7 of What the Cluck, so I won't get into that specifically here, specifically what should be in your emergency kit in this session, but I'll put a link to session 7 in the show notes so you can listen to it to start preparing your own emergency kit. Now, the list in Feeding Your Hens Right is much more detailed and in-depth than what we go into in session 7, but session 7 of What the Cluck will get you started. But the bottom line here is that emergencies are stressful, and probably weekly I have someone contacting me completely stressed out because their chickens or other pets are hurting and they have no idea how to help them. And needless to say, they have little or nothing to help their chickens because they haven't prepared an emergency kit. Do yourself a favor and put together an emergency first aid kit because you'll be able to act in a meaningful way when your flock needs you most rather than worrying about how to help them. In my area, the vet is quite far away. He's unreliable in emergencies, and I can tell you stories about that. But suffice to say, the success of my flock hinges on how prepared I am and my ability to treat them. And in part, that's why I do this show and write Frugal Chicken, because I know a lot of you are in the same position that I am, and I want to share with you what I know. So those are the five basic mistakes I see new chicken owners and actually experienced chicken owners making. But now I'd like to hear from you guys. What do you feel are the most common mistakes new chicken owners make? I'd love it if you contacted me at editor@thefrugalchicken.com, and I'll put that email in the show notes to give me your thoughts. So I hope this podcast gives you some insight into the top five mistakes I see both new and experienced chicken owners make and how you can avoid these pitfalls. As always, feel free to contact me with any comments or questions. And be sure to check out other chicken-related articles on my blog, thefrugalchicken.com. If you like this podcast, please feel free to give it a review and ratings in iTunes. I would definitely appreciate it. And don't forget to subscribe to What the Cluck on iTunes so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to subscribe to Frugal Chicken YouTube channel for chicken and homesteading videos. If you haven't checked out my new chicken nutrition course, Feeding Your Hens Right, which comes out in January, head over to feedingyourhensright.com, and that's all one word, feedingyourhensright.com, to take a look. And I'll put that link in the show notes as well. Thanks again for listening to this episode of What the Cluck. I'll see you next time.